You are all aware, this is the day before, thank God it's Monday. As a resource to prepare for this morning, Hendrika had sent me a PDF file that was called You're Hired, Looking for Work in All the Right Places. And this is a career guide from Meta. And this morning I'd like to share a few snippets from it. Many people spend the first half of their lives seeking success. In our 20s, we ask, how will I make my living? In our 30s, we are clarifying and defining our lifestyle choices and career. In our 40s, we ask, who do I want to become? In our 50s, the question is, what difference am I making in our world? And in our 60s, we ask, what will be my legacy? This is according to Paul Stevens. James Martin writes, God calls us to be who we are. Conversely, God doesn't call us to be who we aren't. Not everyone is called to be a churchly servant, a peacemaker, or a theologian. Career expert Richard Bowles says the recipe to finding your calling is to figure out what you're good at, your God-given talents. Combine it with what you enjoy, your God-given interests. Put it to use in the right job and the right company. Someone has said, find a job you love and you'll never work a day in your life. So let us prepare our hearts and minds for this morning's service as Bonnie plays during this time of anticipation. Lord, we gather to worship you this day. Open our ears to hear you speaking. Guide us as we seek to follow your call on our lives. By the power of your Spirit, help us to recognize you at the center of all we are. Give us courage, strength, and integrity to be your faithful disciples. Let us bow our heads. God, our Father, Lord of all the world, through your Son, you have called us into the fellowship of your universal church. Hear our prayer for your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry, each may be an instrument of your love. Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now Terry will lead us in our opening hymns.
Instruments of love that Ruth spoke of, many would perceive that to be our voice or could be our voice. And so I ask all of us to join in singing our opening hymn. It mentions in there it's Sing the Story, but it's actually Sing the Journey, hymn number 14 in Sing the Journey. And that'll be followed by, in our blue hymnal, hymn number 499. Please stand.
Thank you.
and hymn 499 directly to our theme this week. Thank God it's Monday in our vocations. Just reading the first phrase from each verse, Lord, speak to me that I may speak. O lead me, Lord. O strengthen me. O teach me, Lord. O fill me. O use me, Lord.
If all the children could come forward, and if one could bring me a mic. Bit about gifts that God has given us, things that we love to do, and maybe when you're older might determine what you're going to do maybe in your jobs. So I was wondering, and I think my children cannot answer these questions for now. I might ask you later. What does a pastor do? What do Matthew and I do in this church? What, any ideas? They preach, right? Absolutely. So do you think I just come here Sunday morning, stand behind this pulpit, and just say whatever I want? Like, that's all I do? No? So what do you think maybe preaching might involve? Just have a guess. Alan, yeah.
Talking about the Lord and what happens when Jesus.
Right. Exactly. How might I find that out?
By the Bible.
Right. So what do I have to do in order to preach then? You're right. And I wasn't just reading my Bible because, you know, I'm kind of not that smart. Like, I like to read the Bible, but there's lots of people who have written lots about the Bible. So in a minute, I will actually walk back to my office and I'm going to show you maybe some of the things I do in there. But We can't be away from the adults for too long, otherwise they might get into trouble, right? So we'll just stay up here. What else might a pastor do? Any ideas what else I might do? Yes, Hanukkah, you get that, yeah. I have to write my sermon, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you guys sometimes are kind of, mommy gets cranky when I write my sermons, right? And you guys are too loud. Absolutely. And what? All the time. Oh, well. There's honesty. They what? They could give out food. Good idea. Helping people. Yes. I mean, I don't think I've ever given out food, but I have helped people in different ways. Yeah, that's right. So should I just, maybe some of you are a little bit too small to really know what I do. And that's okay, because when you're two or three, that's really hard to know. So I'm just going to tell you. So Mondays, I don't go to church. I stay home and I try to clean my house. But, you know, that doesn't always work. And then from Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we try to do work at the church. And because at home it kind of gets kind of loud and crazy, we have this office back there. And in that office, we sometimes use a computer. I actually forgot to bring that this morning, so we have to still pick it up in the office and put it out here. Because I might talk to Ruth, who's worship leading today, because I need to let Ruth know what I'm going to preach about so that Ruth can do, and I will have talked to Terry and Bonnie about what this morning might look like. And then this week, I thought, you know what? In order to preach, sometimes pastors get really stuck in their office, and then they're not really good pastors, so sometimes they have to get out. So this week, I visited some people at their workplace, and I asked them why they work and where they work, and that was really interesting. And then sometimes when people are in the hospital, I think sometimes when babies are born, I get to sneak in and see a newborn baby, and that is really, really fun. That's a fun part about being a pastor. And then sometimes when people are ill, I can't call it fun, but it's still very meaningful to see people when they're sick in the hospital. And then sometimes we have meetings to plan things so that we actually know what we're doing, because sometimes a big church has to have plans on what we need to do. What else do you think pastors do? Oh, that's it. Can you say that, Briella? I help with mops. That's true. I get to hang out with all those, the moms, that when they have a break, and then I get to see all those cute kids that are growing every day. So being a pastor is actually a lot of fun. And you know what? Next Sunday, we're going back to the church where we first started out, because I never wanted to be a pastor. I don't know if you guys know that. I didn't want to be a pastor. I actually wanted to be a speech pathologist. That is when you lisp or when you stutter or when you have had a stroke and you can't speak, to help those people. So I always knew I wanted to help people. But then I moved to Canada. And when a German-speaking person moves to Canada, they can't be a speech pathologist. Because otherwise, all the people that are trying to learn how to speak properly will speak with a German accent. And that doesn't work. So then I thought, now I have a big problem. Now I always wanted to be the speech pathologist, but now I have a problem. So someone said, why don't you try being a pastor? You don't have to be a pastor all your life, but you can try being a pastor. So I tried it. And it was so much fun that this year in September, I've done this for 20 years. I'm old, huh? 20 years, the same thing. But always, first I worked with youth. Anyways, it's been fun. So we're quickly going to go to my office, because I think often you guys don't get to see my office. So we're going to quickly go in there, grab the computer, bring it back to the communion table, and then you can go back to your seats. Okay? Let's go find, and I don't know if this mic will actually... Studies, huh? That's an old word. But see, look, there's all this. These are all the sermons we have preached up there. Do you see all those binders? I know, it's a lot, huh? And then there's some books. These are the books, Ellen, you talked about. These are the books I use for finding out more. So the people have written something about a Bible. You know, like move in a little bit, and then the little kids, I don't know if they're interested, but they can. See, You know what?
I know where it is.
I know. So these are all, and then these are all books that tell me more about what other people say about the church. And then some people leave some stuff in here that might not, shouldn't be in the office too. So Felix, you can grab it very carefully. No, it's unhooked already. And then, yeah, and you can bring it to the front. Because without a without a computer.
The green's the new and the blue's the old.
You are so smart, Ellen. That's exactly what it is. Just kind of sit down. And you know what? I'm going to just say this from the back here because you can just sit down. I often think of an older pastor that was here in this church, Andy Kirkland's and Brenda's. Brenda's dad was a pastor here. And I, when my computer doesn't work, I completely panic because I think pastors have to have a computer. And I always think, what would Urban have said? Because Urban passed away maybe 10 years ago. And he never had, he wrote everything by hand, every sermon. And now I sometimes wonder, what would he say if I say, I can't work because my computer isn't working?
Seeing all the young children going to the office reminded me of my childhood, only it wasn't always such a wonderful experience going to the office. We'll now turn to hymn number 401, This Little Light of Mine.
Our scripture reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians 12, 4-6, and I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in every one. And now, Hendrika, we turn this portion over to you.
So Several months ago, Bendigt and I went to the grocery store, and I try actually not to take my kids to the grocery store. That usually doesn't end well. But it was an insightful visit. So as we were leaving, we saw an employee pushing these heavy shopping carts, and he was kind of hunched over, and with all his strength pushed them back from, you know, that roofed part of the cart place back to the store. And I looked at Bendigt and said, you know what, that is why I want you to do your homework, that's why I want you to study, that's why I want you to go to university, so that one day you don't have to push shopping carts. And he just looked at me and he said, Mommy, what if that brings me ultimate happiness? And I paused and I replied, if you can honestly say that this would give you satisfaction, purpose, meaning, and happiness, go for it. Push shopping carts. And I really mean that. I really have come to the point, often parents want so badly something for their kids. But if it's pushing shopping carts, go for it. I've enjoyed preparing for this sermon entitled, Thank God It's Monday. And as I chose the sermon title for it, someone posted on Facebook, Thank God It's Friday. And I thought, yeah, so often we think in those terms. But I really want us to think in terms of, thank God it's Monday. And so it's been good to see some of you at your workplace where you spend your Monday to Friday time. And Matthew and I both hope to visit more of you. So there's a sign-out sheet back there. And we are as long or as short as we can stay. If it's your lunch break, if it's just to see your building, if it's to sit with you for a while, we would love to come to your place, even if that goes past of our sermon series. We've been wanting to do this for a long time, and so really just write out your name, and even if that goes into the summer, we would love to see where you work and just where you spent your Monday to Friday to get a better sense of that. To ask the question, how do we connect our faith with our workplace? Does the job I do really matter? How do we make our mundane jobs holy? These are just a few questions we want to ponder together this morning and in the weeks to come. I read about a person who makes pallets in the resource that Ruth referred to. Those wooden forklift platforms that you'll see in many of the warehouse factories. That you see in the warehouse or factory. How could something so ordinary as making pallets be important in God's big picture? Those simple pallets played a role in God's complex chain of supply to meet the world's needs, and it begins with breakfast on your first day of work. For breakfast, you put out oranges and a box of cereal, hopefully some milk with it too. That's where the chain of supply starts. Somewhere along the line, a pallet was used to load the oranges from the orchard, the cartons of cereal from the factory, and the milk for the dairy onto a truck to bring to your local grocery store. Before you eat your breakfast, you bow and say grace, perhaps mumbling something quick and mechanical. But wait. Think of all the people God used to bring this simple breakfast to your table. These include farmers who produced the grain, milk, and oranges in the first place, manufacturers and dealers who provided implements, scientists who monitored quality, bankers who extended financing, trucks that hauled it along the highway built by construction crews, grocery staff who stocked the shelves. Oh yes, did I mention the pallets that were used at nearly every stop along the way? All of these people played a small role in bringing you breakfast that will nourish your day. I remember working with Eileen Bergen, who is the one of the ministers at Steinmann's, and her husband was in the quality control department as a scientist at Kellogg's, and he was very stressed because he couldn't get the color for the breakfast, for the cereal for Christmas just the right way, and I just never knew that there had to be a scientist that figured out the right colors for the Rice Krispies at Christmas time, and that can cause stress. And so sometimes I think we need to really realize how many people it takes to bring something onto our table. The ability to create and produce, whether it be a thing of beauty or a job that sustains the needs of our community, comes from God. At the center is the grace of God that has been given to all. God calls us, God summons us, God invites us. This is the meaning of vocation. God is at the center of who we are and what we're called to do. Palmer Parker wrote, "Vocation does not come from a voice out there calling me to become something I'm not. It comes from a voice in here calling me to be the person I was born to be, to fulfill the original selfhood given me at birth by God." Vocation is about being raised from the dead, made alive to the reality that we do not merely exist, but are called forth to a divine purpose. In previous eras, people had little career choice. Children would inherit their parents' farm or follow a father's trade. We always joke about that Matthew's dad actually wasn't a very good farmer. Maybe he was good at it, but he never quite liked it. He wanted to become a doctor, but his grandma told him that his only choice was to become a father. And many people say that he loved the work of the church, he loved to read, but they weren't quite sure whether he loved farming, although that's what he did all his life. Today, vocational counselors say that a recent graduate can expect to have an average of 10 to 12 jobs over a lifetime, including 3 or 4 different careers. This is seen as a great opportunity to more fully embrace to use our God-given gifts. But I know that especially for young people, that's a huge challenge over which people deliberate and agonize. God calls each one of us to be who we are. Jesus approached the disciples while they were working. In the gospel, most of the action revolves around laboring people like bankers, farmers, highway contractors. I mean, not like we understand highways, but building of roads, hotel or hostel staff, laborers, physicians, pruners, merchants, just to mention a few. Just a few, 12 to be exact, were invited to leave their jobs and help Jesus in the ministry of the church. All others were encouraged to have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. And I'm stopping here purposefully because the rest of the text, as some of you might know, talks specifically about spiritual gifts, which are not unimportant, but I was not going to focus on them today in our service. This morning, we want to focus on all the gifts which are given to us, not just spiritual gifts. Gifts are distributed in the community in diverse ways. The Greek word for activities, and my Greek isn't very good, so I'm not sure if I pronounce this right, is energermata, where we get our words energy, energetic, and energize from. It is a word of active, miraculous power. Our gifts that we have are supposed to energize us in whatever we feel called to participate in. God pours out God's power and grace. And I think if you think of people that work out of that framework, that are energized by what they do, be it either their paid labor or their volunteered labor, you can feel that what they do, they really embrace from the heart. This means that the church and community is beautifully gifted and diverse. And I think this was the reason actually why Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. They were struggling with the diversity within this early church. But Paul emphasized the importance of honoring, respecting, and celebrating the variety of God-given gifts. Living a holy life doesn't mean imitating someone else. It means being you, the person God created. Who am I? And and who do I want to become are very difficult questions, and yet essential when we discern our vocation. I always tell my own children and the youth I work with that it's just as important to find out what you don't like than what you like. I remember my very first paid job was I worked in a bakery, and every time I worked, it was my job to clean the windows of the display case. And so now when my kids are in front of any counter, I say, don't touch, because someone has to clean that, because I did not like it. I knew I'm horrible at cleaning. I don't like cleaning. I do it very seldom. And I knew right there and then it was an important job. And some people really felt that methodically cleaning something really they were able to think, they were able to love their work. And I knew that wasn't me. So it's important to have these jobs that you don't like to figure out what you like. But we need to look at our natural interests, abilities, as well as limitations. And cleaning windows is my limitation for sure, as part of discerning what we're called to do. Vocation does not come from a voice out there calling me to become something I'm not. It comes from a voice in here calling me to be the person I was born to be, to fulfill the original selfhood given to me at birth by God. In his book, Authentic Happiness, psychologist Martin Seligman says a strong predictor of happiness is a sense of calling. What does it mean? An executive or physician who cares only for the money has a job, not a calling. Conversely, a garbage collector or grocery cart pusher who sees the job as making the world a cleaner and healthier place, or serving people by providing them with a convenient location to pick up their carts, has a calling. Seligman writes, people with a calling are consistently happier than those with mere jobs or careers. The runner Eric Liddell in Chariots of Fire said, God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. All of us need to discern where we feel God's pleasure and ask ourselves, when do I feel that I'm doing what God created me to do? When I teach, when I sing, when I design, when I care for others, when I mentor or manage, when I diagnose, when I build, I feel alive and to the reality that I not merely exist, but am called forth to divine purpose. The late Mike Iaconelli used to be a pastor at a small church in California and wrote many books. And he liked to talk about people who saw their daily work as ministers. One of his members was Elaine, an esthetician, who Mike called a minister with acrylic and polish. Mike, she told him, I don't just do nails. Doing nails is nothing more than putting stuff on the ends of women's fingers and painting it. What I do is listen to women talk. I laugh, I cry, I share in their pain. And I talk too. After all, the women can't go anywhere. Their hands are stuck in front of me for 2 hours. To our patrons, she was a friend, a confidant, a listener, affirmer, counselor, advice giver, evangelist. Elaine is the minister of manicure, said Mike. What a calling. Then there was Steve, an accountant, whose calling went far beyond taxes and spreadsheets. Steve is a tamer of numbers, said Mike. He doesn't allow numbers to control and frighten all the employees. Rather than net profits and accounts payable being allowed to run wild, Steve captures them and tames them so that the employees feel comfortable around them. Steve has managed to make the numbers of our company an adventure, a story that he tells with wonder and excitement. I always say Andy is that person for us here at the church. When he talks about numbers, they seem so much more exciting than when I look at that spreadsheet that comes in the email. I've gotten better in reading them, and I don't feel quite as threatened by all these numbers, but when he tells the story about the numbers, I too can get excited about them. Maxine, a supermarket cashier, knows her face may be the only friendly face many people see in a day. Many times she says, "I find I'm called upon to help nurture the emotional state of shoppers. Just as the food you're buying will provide nourishment to their bodies, often a single word of understanding or a mere look of genuine concern can heal a bruised heart." I remember my first week in Canada, my dad had sent me with way too much money in a money belt to probably be safe. But he was cheap. He didn't want to pay for that transfer cost, I think. And I went to the bank, and I was terribly homesick. And I went to the bank teller, and she had this lovely smile on her face, and she asked me, "How are you?" And I was kind of stunned because I thought, like, she doesn't really want to know how I'm doing. She's a bank teller. And I didn't tell her how I was doing, but I remember feeling, oh, there are nice people in Canada. And so I always know Germans aren't very great at that. They're very stoic about the stuff that you need to do. So there's nothing friendly about their service industry in the same way. And I've always felt that smile at the grocery store, that smile at the bank, the smile when you do something really ordinary, but that can really brighten your day, especially if you've had a crappy one. These people have let their workplace imaginations run free, so their jobs become a lengthening shadow of their values and beliefs. Vocation does not come from a voice out there calling me to become something I'm not. It comes from a voice in here calling me to be the person I was born to be, to fulfill the original selfhood given me at birth by God. I invite you to pray. God, we're not all the same with regard to our work. Some of us cannot find the work we need to provide for ourselves and our families. We turn to you for help and for hope. Lead us to your provision. Some of us have work that is demeaning or ill-suited to our gifts. Help us to endure while we must, and to see every opportunity to serve others as an opportunity to serve you. Lead us to new possibilities. Some of us have work that we take for granted. Forgive our idleness and teach us discipline. Make us stewards of our opportunities and challenge us to invest ourselves more fully. Lead us to become productive members of our communities and witnesses to your own excellence. Some of us have fulfilling or rewarding work. Teach us gratitude, reminding us that to whom much is given, much is required. Lead us to opportunities for ministry within our work and inspire us to provide opportunities for others. But all of us seek the purpose and fulfillment of discovering and using the gifts you have given us. We confess our dependence upon you to show us who we truly are and what we're uniquely suited to do. Lead us to make our work an expression of the ministry you have given us to feed, clothe, shelter, help, serve, liberate, and redeem those you love, that we might truly be your disciples. Amen.
Hymn 504 in our blue hymnal, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way."
I would like to invite the ushers to come forward. Let us bow our heads. Giver of every good and perfect gift, we who consume more than we need and own more than we can use, come before you today to confront the truth that our deepest need is not met by possessing something, but by being a part of something, something bigger than ourselves, something noble, something beyond the borders of our little worlds and beyond the reach of our control. Take these gifts from our hands and do with them what we cannot do alone. Transform our material offerings into spiritual things. Move them from our unworthiness towards your worthiness. Allow us to be part of making the crooked straight, the blind to see, the lame to walk, the lost found, and the dead alive again. Amen. It is time for announcements, so I invite you to come and share if you have one.
I just want to remind everybody about our potluck on May 3rd, followed by our MCC service project that we're going to be doing. Our goal is to provide at least 40 hygiene kits to MCC to send to Syria. So that day there will be activities for kids through adults after the potluck, and we'll also be knotting a comforter as well as assembling the kits. Just a reminder that there's only four things in the kits, and MCC is very specific about how those things need to be packaged, etc. So for the toothbrushes, they need to be individually wrapped toothbrushes. Fingernail clippers is self-explanatory. The hand towels, they prefer dark colors. And the fourth thing, soap. Instead of the soap in the boxes, the soap that comes wrapped in plastic or whatever, I'm not endorsing a product, but I know Ivory sells 10 packages of soap together, and they're kind of in the format that they would like. So there is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board for bringing in those items, and I have a couple of boxes out in the foyer too, so you can start bringing your things next week. And if we surpass the 40 bags, that would be great, but we'll see where it goes. And oh, sorry, we also need a couple very proficient sewers, and bring your sewing machines, and we've got that on the sign-up list as well. Thanks.
I'm just going to add to a conversation we had around, because sometimes Sundays can be really long for younger families. And we said, we want to just give you permission on that day. If you just want to come show up with your younger children for the service project, we really want to have more opportunities where we all can engage in service to others. And so if that means you have to skip the sermon in the morning, I give you full permission to miss it if you come and help us package and knot and just be present. So if you want to come just for lunch and afternoon activities, please do so.
I put a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board at the back for the Blue Jays game. It's getting a little bit closer. The details you got before, but Saturday, June 6th. And everybody is welcome. A few people have asked me if their grandkids or other family and friends that don't necessarily come to this church can come along. And by all means, the more the merrier. If we need more than the full bus, then so be it. We'll figure that out when the time comes. I think 2 years ago, I ended up with 55 tickets. So Lydia filled out our name on the sheet, and that's fairly self-explanatory. The bus part was just for that reason, because sometimes there have been a couple times when somebody wanted to come along but didn't want to go on the bus, meet down there, or whatever the case may be. So that just gives me an idea how many are on the bus, but I can get as many tickets as we need. Saturday, June 6th, so bring as many people as you want.
Trusting everyone noticed in the bulletin the announcement about next week's silent auction for Interfaith. It's their largest annual single fundraiser that they have. This would be the 33rd or 34th year that they're having this event. It's at the new Rec Center or the Murph Center. It starts at 9 in the morning and it finishes at 2. That's a new format that they've done the past couple years now and has seemed to work well. We have a bunch of different entertainment things that are taking place with Eric Traplin and the high school and then the New Hamburg Band and things. And then there'll be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of items to silent auction bid on. And they have a bake sale, et cetera. So if you are free and able to come out next Saturday, that would be awesome in support of Interfaith. Also, thanks to many of those here within the church that have personally funded and supported Interfaith, both in the silent auction coming up next week and also in the Expanding Hope campaign with all the renovations that are taking place at the offices at Trinity Church. Thank you for that. That's also a bit of sharing, but mostly announcement. And then also on announcement and a bit of sharing is, as noted in your bulletin, the Personnel Committee is at the point in the church calendar year that we're asking people if they're wishing to renew their vocation or their position on the church slate at Nith Valley. And we do have some openings. And of particular note is that Mark will be stepping down as council chair after this year. And so we have an open position for council chair as of September coming up. We also have openings in our Christian Ed and Formation Committee, and we're open to hear from anyone from the church that has an interest or feels the nudge to come forward and let us know if you'd like to give of your time and talents in some way officially. You can speak to any of us in the Personnel Committee. Thanks.
Just this is for both, I think, again, an announcement and a sharing is that the service of baptism and transfer of membership we hope to do on May the 24th. A few people have expressed interest in baptism, but if there's any more that you feel nudged, and I feel in the past we've focused maybe too much on how perfect you have to be to get to this point. I think we've all recognized along our path of being followers of Jesus that we aren't perfect and that we make mistakes, and that is part of our commitment, that we grow as we grow through our mistakes and through our learnings. So if you feel nudged to kind of officially declare that you want to journey, we invite you to express that to either Matthew or myself. And also if you are a member at a different church but really would like to more officially want to become a member at Nith Valley, also please speak to us. The other announcement was that I said in the children's story that it's been almost 20 years that Matthew and I started in ministry, which seems like yesterday. But St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church is celebrating their 70th anniversary in recognition that many of their founding members will have passed away by the time they would celebrate their 75th. They've decided to celebrate their 70th and are inviting pastors from the past back to preach. And so Matthew and I have been invited to preach there next Sunday. So we won't be here. Unfortunately, I've said to numerous people, I don't like that part about being a small church. I get to miss out on all the great guest speakers that are going to be there. And next week is even going to be more exciting because the guest speakers is going to be a panel from Nith Valley sharing about their vocation and how they connect Sunday to Monday. And I really would love to hear that, and I will definitely listen to the taped version of it when I get back. But so we'll have our guest speaker next week will be a panel of people, and it will be a surprise at who it is. Some have already have confirmed, and we'll have a hopefully you guys will have a wonderful morning up here and then the conversation to continue downstairs. I now invite any sharing of joys and concerns with the larger group.
Yes, sorry. I just wanted to say that I was negligent in my opening this morning. I forgot to say a welcome to Lou this morning. It's so nice to see you here this morning. And to Greg and Tracy and their family. It's wonderful to have you here. And you certainly have enriched our music this morning.
And I'm not going to pray for my husband for his sinful activity, but I'll let you know where he is. He traveled to Boston on Friday and will be running the Boston Marathon tomorrow. And maybe I'm not praying for his running activity, but for the safety of all the runners that will be participating tomorrow. I think he starts at 10:30 or something like that and hopes to be done in a good time because he wrote in an email to his friends that his worst critics are his own children. So he'll have a hard time living with us if he doesn't do what they think he should accomplish. Let us pray. God of love and God of peace, we pause this morning as a faith community, blessed that we have gathered and worshiped together, thankful for the many gifts this church has. So many of you giving to this community and the larger community and the world. Thank you, God, for the gifts given and shared. This morning, I give thanks for all our pianists, choristers, and worship leaders, and children's storytellers who share their gifts during our worship hour. Together, you help us all to pause for a moment in our daily life, a weekly life, and to meet God where we're at. God of love, God of peace, God of this world, scarred by grief and tears, as a gathered group, we're so aware of this fractured world, and we cry out to you. We pray for all migrants who have fled North Africa, attempted to cross the Mediterranean to Italy, remembering especially those who have drowned, including the 400 who've died this week alone. Suffering people are trying to escape to find peace, hope, and a new home. Migration and immigrations are such difficult topics to understand. Challenge us that even though many of us are comfortable, to be open and welcoming to all who come and often have such a painful story to tell. God of love, God of peace, this world, your world, is so big, so beautiful, and yet in parts of this world, it is so challenging to live. We pray for people near and far whose living conditions are harsh, and yet there's no way out. Create within us a heart for people, even if we don't know them. We pray for desire for the change so that others have a chance of new beginnings. God of love, God of peace, God of this world, we pray for all who might encounter today being on a twisted path or a dark road. As you walk with each one of them, be with them and be their guide. This morning, God, we pray for our own community, the community of New Hamburg and the work of Interfaith, serving an increased number of people struggling walking on twisted paths and dark roads. Be with the committee that plans the auction and help the community to come together to rally around so that we can continue to provide the services that will help others. We also pray for our own community here at Nith Valley. God, open our hearts. Open maybe a nudging we might have, a sense of calling, a sense of vocation to volunteer work in our community. We need the gifts that you've bestowed on people to worship you and to worship and serve your world. Jesus, stand among us, look in our eyes with love, assuring us that we are loved just as we are. In your name we pray. Amen.
For our ascending hymn, be hymn number 398, I Love to Tell the Story. Let's please stand, and we'll remain standing for the benediction.
Gathered friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are not dismissed. We are not just free to go. Christ sends us. Go forth into the world in the power of the Spirit. Go to help and heal in all that you do. Amen.